remember Cornelius the centurion? Remember him? Book of Acts, chapter 10. He was the first Gentile to be baptized by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Him and his household. And then also a centurion stood up for Paul at the end of Book of Acts in Acts 22. Paul was a Roman citizen, and a centurion stood up for him and went to the leader there and said, you better watch. He's getting ready to scourge Paul, which meant beat him bloody. And he said, you better watch. This Paul is a Roman citizen. And that's when the guy said, oh, with a great sum I bought, purchased this freedom. And Paul said, I was born a Roman. It was Saul of Tarsus, born free.
Amen.
So then verse 3 says, and when he heard of Jesus, the centurion, a Roman centurion, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews. See, a lot of people have asked, what about the Gentiles in the Old Testament? Well, here, this is still under the Old Testament. And there are some other Gentiles you may take note of. Ruth, Moabitess, and Rahab, the harlot, until she became a believer, and then she stopped being a harlot, and married Solomon. And both of those ladies were Gentiles and got into the genealogy of Jesus. They were Jesus' great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma.
Amen.
And others. And of course, the Ethiopian eunuch and others we'll see. So, look at verse 3 again. Beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. The centurion had faith in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Not in his faith. The TV preachers will tell you, send me $1,000. Send me $1,000 and I'll send you for your seed faith offering. Something, you know, I'll wipe sweat of my brow with my hanky and send it to you. Or I'll take Kroger water and put my own label on it and send it to you. Call it holy water. And the suckers send in the money. But that doesn't help anything, because if you're sick or someone you know is sick and you say, oh, I have faith, and then they don't get healed, you can take them to Benny Hinn or whoever. They'll lay hands on them, whatever. But if they don't get healed, you know who they blame?
You.
You didn't have enough faith. The false teachers teach you that your power in prayer is that you have enough faith that the healing takes place. The Bible shows this man, for example, had his faith in Jesus.
Amen.
The centurion didn't come to him and say, I'm now buying you and then I test you and I'll be faith believing in my seed faith offering. And he didn't say any of that. He came to Jesus and said, you're the man.
Yep.
Capital M. You're the man. There's one man who is a mediator between God and man, small m. And that's the man, capital N, Christ Jesus. And that's who your faith is in, not in your own faith. Verses 4 and 5, read that with me. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. So there you go, the Gentiles had all the opportunity to demonstrate their faith in God, just like the Jews, and a lot of them did. This guy did. He loved the Jews. He loved the nation of Israel, and even built synagogues. Helped them pay the... Wouldn't it be nice if some Jew would come along and say, hey, you guys, I know you support Israel and you're good people. We're going to build you a church building over here in Bexley. All right, yeah, cool. No strings attached. As long as there's no strings attached, we'd take it. Just doesn't happen. But... I don't know if you thought of this, but that's Genesis 12:3 in action.
Amen.
Genesis 12:3 says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This Gentile centurion was blessing Israel. And the God who said that is about to heal his Gentile servant. Think of that. Jesus talking. Jesus said, I will bless them that bless thee. And all these heretics and false teachers will tell you, that was only to Abraham. It's because they're stupid. They don't read their Bible. If you keep reading your Bible, you're going to see that promise is actually repeated and demonstrated throughout Scripture. In Genesis 27:29, that same promise was spoken in prophetic words from Isaac to Jacob. Genesis 27:29. And Jacob is who?
Israel.
God renames Jacob Israel. He becomes the patriarch. It's his 12 sons that become the 12 tribes of Israel. And that promise goes to those 12 tribes.
Amen.
Which eventually would be represented by the tribe of Judah, who is the tribe that Jesus comes from.
Amen.
And that promise has never been rescinded. It's applied to all the Jews in Numbers 24:9 by a Gentile prophet. So over and over, and confirmed in history. Name me the person, place, or nation that cursed Israel and lived to tell about it. Name them.
Yeah.
They don't exist. The Bible's been confirmed throughout history over and over, and America is about to bite the bullet.
Yeah.
And prove the Bible true one more time.
Right.
Despite what false teachers claim, God never rescinded His promises to Israel.
Amen.
2 Kings 14:27 is another example. I just love this. If you're reading along with our Bible reading calendar, which we're out of, I'm going to have to make some more. That's a good sign. But yesterday or the day before, I can't remember which day it was, we were reading in 2 Kings 14 yesterday. And the Lord said, not that He would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but He saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. All these teachers are saying God's done with Israel. They're liars. And right there, and the Lord said, not. Then you look at Jeremiah 31. Turn there with me real quick. Read all three verses beginning 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is His name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Now, did y'all see the moon yesterday?
Amen.
I don't know if you're lying. What did it look like?
A sliver.
A sliver, that's right. It was a waxing moon. It's a, what do you call it, crescent? Actually, the Muslims use that as one of their symbols, and so do the Shriners on the little Islamic things they wear.
Yeah.
But it's waxing, meaning it's, every day it's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. That's what he's talking about when he talks about the ordinances of the moon. So that hasn't stopped yet. He says, the sun for a light by day. How many of you have seen the sun in the last few days? Which is a blessing because we live in Ohio. Sometimes we take it by faith, it's out there. But it's still there. But look what it said then in verse 37. If heaven above can be measured, if any scientist or astronomer tells you they know exactly how big our universe is, they lie. They do not know. And they're constantly changing their guesses. It also says, the foundations of the earth searched out beneath. We haven't even seen everything in the oceans.
Yeah.
Let alone gone into the earth. We can only go, like, what, 3 miles? And you hit a layer that is so hard, even diamond can't get through it. You want to know why? Everybody look at me right now. I'm going to tell you something. You want to think I'm crazy, I'll tell you this. But the Bible says it's true. You ever wonder why we can't get into the middle of the earth? When they teach about the center of the earth, they guess. Because that's where hell is.
Amen.
When someone says, you're going to go down, they don't know how right they are. When I was a little kid, I said, you don't stop lying, you're going to go down, because we weren't allowed to say hell. Say hell, we'd get in trouble.
Right.
Unless it was coming down out of the sky in ice balls, then we could say hell. Otherwise, we'd say, you're going to go down under. And then I'd have people correct me. So we don't know where hell is, so you shouldn't say that. I thought, oh, I didn't know that. And I stopped saying it. Well, then I started reading my Bible, and all of a sudden, I'm saying it again. The hell is under your feet. And man will never get in there until it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this is judgment. And those who don't know Jesus Christ, when they die, that's where they go. All throughout history, man has tried to guess about hell. They know it exists. You read the Odyssey. How many of you had to read that in school? Because I don't know very many people voluntarily read it. But in there, there's a scene where Odysseus and his men go into Hades. And then when they come out, some of the gods are like, well, how did you do that? It's so ridiculous. But that's just made up. That's fiction. And don't go buy books that talk about, I spent 23 minutes in hell. Hogwash. You read those books and compare it to the Bible, you'll see it's hogwash. The only Bible talks about Paul going to the third heaven. And when he came back, he wouldn't talk about it. But today, everybody goes to heaven and hell and writes books. And the suckers buy it. But the point of the text is we haven't been able to do any of that. Therefore, God has not given over Israel. As he says, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done. He hasn't done that because that hasn't happened yet. None of that which we just read. Romans 11, speaking of Paul, who is a Jew, a Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin. He says in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1 begins, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. And then verse 2, he starts out by saying, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew.
Amen.
And that still stands true. Now, you want God to be good to you? How many, raise your hands, you want God to be good to you?
Yeah.
All right. A couple of you, not sure. I want God to be good to me.
Amen.
Then be good to the Jew.
Yeah.
Now, you don't get me wrong. We should be good, and as in biblical, and teach, reach people with the gospel and treat people with respect across the board. But for some reason, it has to be stated, in addition to that clear statement, that includes the Jew. Because for some reason, people just get wicked and hate on the Jews. You go to Japan, they don't even have Jews in their country, and Mein Kampf is one of the biggest sellers. And they have this huge anti-Semitic problem in Japan, of all places. In different places in Asia, it's the same. And right here in America, everybody wants to blame the Jews. Well, verse 6, going back to our passage in Luke, we've established that this centurion is benefiting from, receiving the promises of God in Genesis 12:3. He's blessing Israel. And then there's something else about that I want you to notice. Verse 6, read that with me. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent his friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. First he just wanted Jesus from where he was to say the word, and now Jesus is coming here, telling him not to bother doing it. He doesn't need to do that. Just come to speak the word, and my servant be healed. But I like what he says in his first words there at the bottom there. He says, for I am not worthy. He didn't come and say, I'm a child of the king. I have an inheritance. And like Benny Hinn says, I don't want to walk on streets of gold in heaven. I want it now. I want the gold now. That's what you're hearing among Laodicean Christians today. This guy says, no, you don't need to come here. I'm not worthy of a personal visit. Doesn't have that entitlement attitude. It's a demonstration of humility and faith. Those go hand in hand. You don't have one without the other. You have what you call faith without humility. It's fake faith. And if you think you have humility, then have no faith. Some people are like, oh, I just can't believe. I just can't. That's not humility. That's fear.
Yeah.
And it's not of God. Look over in Acts 10 real quick. I'm holding my own. I said I was going to be done a certain amount of time. I'm going to if you pay attention. If not, I got plenty else to say.
All right.
Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Acts 10 is where Cornelius, the centurion, and his family are saved. And Peter, as a Jew, is having to accept this as a new thing. He wasn't even supposed to go into a house of a Gentile. That's why the servant back in Luke is saying, you don't have to come to my house. You're a Jew. You don't do that. In Acts 10, Peter has to have a vision and everything. Look at verse 34 says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That's why racism is wrong. I don't care about your, what's it called? Melanin or melatonin? I always get those mixed up. Melanin?
Melanin.
Huh?
Melatonin.
No, melatonin is the hormone.
Yeah. Melanin is the amount of
pigment
color in your skin. Okay? I don't care. I don't care. You take some white, rosy white, even with little pink cheeks, you know, blue eyes, blonde hair, I mean, as white can be. And if they reject Jesus, they're not my brother. And if I may say this, we got all kinds of groups brothering up with people they're not brothers with. You're black today, you look at another black man and say, hey, brother, what's up? That's a cultural thing, but it's not true unless he's saved or he is the same DNA or adopted by the same mother. But just because he's black doesn't make him your brother. There's the Masons in every color, but I grew up in a predominantly white area, and you have these Masons, Freemasons. And they'd walk out and do that silly handshake and all this and call each other brother. And one of them might be a professing Christian, because there are some among them.
Yeah.
And they'd be talking to an unsaved man. That's not your brother. It's not. You see, God is no respecter of persons. He don't care about you belonging to a fraternity organization or what color skin or what. He's no respecter of persons. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell.
Amen.
If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are one of His children. And then verse 35, read what it says with me. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. I believe this explains why some dude in England could all of a sudden have this hankering for Chinese food. And they don't sell it in the UK, so he decides he's going to learn Mandarin and go over to the Chinese and preach the gospel. Why? Because there's some Chinese people over there that God sees. They fear him. They work righteousness. And because they're accepted with Him, He gets a missionary over there. Amen.
Amen.
And then people for no reason decide they want to go to the Amazon. And then they get there, several of them eaten by cannibals. And yet, in the end, the whole tribe ends up saved. Why? Because the ones who weren't eating them, there was somebody there who believed in God.
Amen.
They, as it says there, feared God, worked righteousness. But the same thing's true about Worthington, Ohio. Bunch of godless liberals, for the most part.
Yeah.
But even the conservatives aren't gospel-believing Bible believers. And go door to door, they won't answer the door, they slam the door in your face, and you say, why have we done that? And we'll continue doing it when opportunity is there. Why? Because there may be somebody out there like that who will receive the gospel. And that's why we do what we do. And that's what's happening with this fellow back here in Luke 7. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. He's got humility. He fears God. And unworthiness is to face reality because none of us are worthy. No one here right now today is worthy. Nobody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this self-esteem cult has killed the natural awareness of man's lost condition. You used to be able to go to the door and talk to somebody and say, "Are you a sinner?" And most people would say, "Yeah." Mm-hmm. Not anymore. This is what you get.
Do you think you're a good person?
Yes.
And what about you?
Yes.
Is God happy with you or angry at you? God is good with me all the time. I believe God is happy with me. Mm-hmm. I believe I'm a great person. Morally good person?
Yes.
He just admitted he commits adultery and has lied and all this stuff. But I'm a great person. Now, it doesn't make any sense, but that's what he's had pounded in his head his whole life. From PBS cartoons through the elementary school and psychology and everything. So he turns with his attitude of unworthiness and says, "But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed."
Amen.
Faith in the word and will of God. Not in his own faith. Faith in the Word of God. We're here today because we believe God's Word.
Amen.
Bible Believers Fellowship. So the centurion will now explain in verse 8. He says, "For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth." That's his reasoning. I'm over 100 men. I'm the authority. You, Jesus, are God in flesh. You are the Messiah. So all you have to do is say a word, and I believe it's going to happen.
Amen.
That's faith. In other words, Jesus is the Lord. He's not a Savior, He's the Savior.
Amen.
Jesus now pays a high compliment to a Gentile believer there in verse 9, as we read it earlier. Read that with me. "When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Or you talk about a slap in the face of the Jewish religious leaders. He just said that their faith fails in comparison to this Gentile. They wanted to kill him after this, Martha. Jesus is fulfilling Simeon's prophecy in Luke chapter 2. You remember that? Back in Luke 2, just turn a few pages real quick. Come on, if you turn there, we'll get over it. We'll get through this. Stop. Don't be here a while. Luke 2, 25 to 32. You remember we read this? "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." This is before Pentecost.
Right.
"And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law," he's going to be circumcised. Verse 28, then talking about Simeon, "then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said," read verse 29 through 32, read it with me. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy" what?
Word.
"For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the" who? "And the glory of thy people Israel." You get that? I mean, that is a prophecy being fulfilled in this text that we're reading.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
30 years ago. It's amazing. Now, 2,000 years later, Israel still rejects her Messiah.
Yep.
This is headline news today. Israel, their version of the FCC, their government agency, pulls the plug on God TV, evangelical channel, spreading gospel of Jesus to the Jews. People report complain because on God TV in Israel they were preaching the gospel and the Jews were getting saved.
Mm-hmm.
So the government of Israel has pulled the plug and taken them off. So pray about that. God TV is going to appeal again for a license. Some of the stuff they have on there I wouldn't endorse, but if they're preaching the gospel, as Paul said, I praise the Lord for that. So let's close now. Verse 10. You all been good. Pay attention for the most part. So verse 10, read that with me. "And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick.
Amen.
That's the result of faith. Here's what your bumper stickers ought to say. God said it. That settles it.
Amen.
Whether you believe it or not.
Amen.
God said it. That settles it. Whether or not you believe it is whether or not you get to enjoy the benefits.
Yes.
But if God says it, that settles it.
Amen.
God's word is gold.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we're not going to look all these up, but you can look up Isaiah 55, 6 through 11. Look that up on your own time. Write that down. Look that up when you go home. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. And we'll quote Ezekiel 24, 14a. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it.
Amen.
I haven't. I hope everyone in this room has no doubt about God's word.
Amen.
One last thing as the musicians come. Summing it all up. Faith in Jesus is to have faith in His word. Don't say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. And then you don't believe the Bible. There are professing Christians all over this country who say, I believe in Jesus, and yet they support things like abortion, gay marriage, promiscuous sexuality, wickedness. We talked about it in the last couple of studies. Why call me Lord and do not the things I say? If you claim, or if you just believe you have faith in Jesus, but you don't love His Word, you don't read His Word, you don't live by His Word, you don't believe and support and defend His Word and the things in His Word, you better check your faith. Because that is the key. It's the key, first of all, to being saved.
Amen.
You can hear the gospel all you want. You can even repent. But unless you repent toward God with faith, toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that gospel, how He died for your sins, was buried and rose again, paid for your sins with His shed blood on the cross, won the victory over sin, the power of His resurrection, you have to believe that. And you won't believe that unless you believe God's Word. They go hand in hand. You can't say, I believe the gospel, and you don't believe this book. It's the key to being saved, and it's the key to living the Christian life.
Amen.
And there are too many Christians who just go about on their own opinions. Well, I think. Well, to me. Well, I feel. Well, my mama always told me. Daddy got a brand new bag. Who cares? God's Word is the authority.
Amen.
It takes faith in His Word to then produce faith in your life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
And you need to have this attitude of this centurion we've been talking about this morning. Humility and faith. You're not worthy of the least of His blessings. And yet He'll not only save you from hell, He will give you a wonderful walk with Him. Life itself may throw you all kinds of things, but He'll be with you through it all. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And then when it's all over with, you're going to be as He is. You're going to be glorified. You're going to live with Him forever. You're not going to sit on a cloud playing a harp, sitting in a diaper like they show on the cartoons. So get that image out of your head. You've got an amazing eternity ahead of you if you'll turn to Jesus Christ. And it says your mind cannot even imagine what He has in store.